How's everybody doing this morning? It's great to be here. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hopefully everybody is doing well. Can I ask that again? How you doing? Good. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. The few that are in here say they're doing good. So hopefully you're doing good out there this morning, wherever you are. You're in your bedroom, in your living room, your dining room, your kitchen. If you're outside in the garden, on the patio, wherever you are, some time zones are different. We recognize that in some countries that our worship service is going on, the time zone is different. I don't know all the time zones, but we got some feedback that different ones are worshiping at different times. And it's wonderful, wonderful to know that. We serve a big God. And God is everywhere at the same time, and he created this world, and so we're just good. This is, I don't know, but I look forward to the first day of the week, especially now with so much going on, and then after you've been down a while and you were up a while, it's just like every day is a new day, and so we just want to say good morning, and relax, but not too much. Wake up, sit up. And get ready to worship God. I'm Gary Smith. I'm the minister at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Many of you know me. Not all of you know me that well. And it's just good to be here. This worship service is offered by the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. And we're like many who had to make the adjustment. But God is good. We get kind of used to it now. I don't know if we get too used to it. But we don't know how long we'll be doing this. But however long we'll be doing it, we'll be doing it. Because we're going to continue to worship God. Amen? Amen. A lot's going on. Still going on. Hopefully you're watching the news. If you are a member of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, we hope you're getting all the updates. You know to go to our website, fwcoc.org. That's Fifth Ward Church of Christ.org. Just fwcoc.org. If you would like to be on our email list, we send weekly announcements. If you send your email to bulletin@fwcoc.org, if you send your email, we'll put you on our mailing list, our email list, and we will send information to you if you like to get information. We have updates weekly. We have a weekly in brief. One of our brothers, along with me, we highlight a ministry every month. It comes out at the end of the month. If you hadn't been receiving that, if you email us your email, you receive that at the end of the month. And then there are other announcement things that pop up that we try to inform the congregation. And so please do that. Stay in contact. Many of you have been doing that, and we appreciate that so much as we go through these trying times and trying to communicate. So just good to be here. Good to be here. I could say more. Sometimes I just want to just have a conversation, just talk, and just ask you how you're doing. There are things that are happening in our brotherhood. We've lost one of our pioneer preachers this week. One of our pioneer preachers in Churches of Christ, Brother Theesta Malloy. I understand he passed away, and we want to keep his family in prayer, keep the Fidelity Church of Christ in prayer as they mourn. And then we've lost, even in our own congregation, some. Keep Sister Deborah Lindsay and family in prayer. Rayana, one of our own who grew up here, was passed away this week, and our hearts are heavy for them, for that family, and even others who are have lost loved ones. And so remember those in your prayers. We started a lesson series on last week entitled Anchors for the Soul. Anchors for the Soul. And we want to start there. During this time. Let me just start with our text. Brother Rick Reed, Acts chapter 27, verse 29, Fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, who is actually a prisoner, and they are transporting him. I believe I inadvertently or mistakenly may have mentioned that they were transporting him to Jerusalem, not to Jerusalem, to Rome, where he is to stand before stand before the leadership, the kings, and testify before them, and it's all a part of God's plan. But he is a prisoner, and he's in a ship, and they're transporting him, and they come a storm comes, and it says that. Says that they cast four anchors, and that's significant. You know, I don't know if all ships had four anchors, but they must have knew that the territory that they were traveling in would storms would often occur. And it's casted from the stern, which would be the back of the ship, and they wished for daybreak, so it had to be an awful storm. And then verse 30, but as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship, so and had let down the ship's boat into the sea, so you had a boat on the ship. They were letting the boat down because they're trying to save themselves. And so it had to be a very bad. So, oh, I could do so much in this text. And I've entitled this Anchors for the Soul because I believe the Bible identifies at least four anchors that all of us need as children of God as we try to navigate through life. And as we try to navigate through circumstances that are going on, and I identified, I'm gonna name them. And last week we talked about the unfaltering faith in God and His Word. That's what we were emphasizing on last week. Today it's the unwavering belief in Jesus Christ as Savior. The unwavering belief that in Jesus Christ as Savior. The third one is the hope of salvation. The fourth one is the safe haven of the church that belongs to Christ. I believe they can all be found right here in these couple of verses that we are reading. He says this. He said, listen to what he says in verse 31. He says, but as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and they let down the ship's boat into the sea on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow. So they had four anchors. They started throwing the anchors out. They let the ship down because they were going to throw an anchor from the boat that was on the ship. But Paul said in verse 31 to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men remain in the ship, that's one of our anchors. Unless they remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. Cannot be saved. Four anchors. I want to get ahead of myself, but I need to slow down. Let me review just a little bit. The first anchor is the unfaltering faith in God and His Word. And just not to be repetitive, you see, an anchor, the purpose of an anchor, one of the purposes of an anchor is to keep us from drifting, keep the boat from drifting. Even if you're out in the sea, sometimes the seas look calm, but underneath there's turbulence. And if there was not an anchor, the ship would just drift away. It would just drift. An anchor was used to keep from drifting off course. One of the other purposes of an anchor is to provide stability in unstable times. Man, we need that right now, don't we? Yeah, these unstable times. You watch the news, I'm telling you, it'll depress you, you know. We thought we almost had a handle on this thing, this coronavirus. We almost had a handle on it, it seemed like. But sometimes men get in their own way. And now it seems like we got something else that's coming that we're dealing with. And so the times are unstable. Man, I don't know. Do you need an anchor? Yeah. I think this is a time that we need an anchor. That's when an anchor is needed. And then obviously an anchor is needed to simply save somebody. It may be the only thing that saves a boat from being totally destroyed. And the same goes for our lives. So there is a purpose for an anchor. I know this is in the Bible for a reason. Now, the first one, we stated that God, the unfaltering faith in God and His Word. We use John chapter 12, verse 49. The scripture reads, for I did not speak my own initiative. Jesus said, I didn't speak of my own initiative, but the Father Himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. See, God is the conductor. God is the architect. God is the orchestrator of everything that goes on in the world. Don't forget that. Now, we know that Jesus and God, the Holy Spirit, are one, but they all have distinct roles. They all have distinct responsibilities, and God is running the show. Amen. Jesus, he said, I'm not speaking my own initiative. I'm speaking what God gave me. That is one anchor that we cannot forget. God is in control. Amen. All right. Now, I know this is elementary to some of us, but if we don't get this right, we will be drifting all over the place, trying to figure out who to follow. And here, even in this plan, you see Paul is on this ship. And see, now God don't twist our arm to do anything. His will is going to be done. But see, we won't get what we want until our will becomes what God's will is. And even in this, Paul on this ship, this is all a part of God's plan. God is still in control. You say, well, forgive, he's in the storm. He wasn't planning on that. Listen to Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Acts 9, 15. Before Paul was converted, before Saul was converted to Paul, the scripture says, but the Lord said to him, God spoke to Saul, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul being on that ship was all a part of God's plan. Guess what? Us, the few who are in here in this building right now, is all a part of God's plan. Where you are right now is all a part of God's. God's plan is being worked out right now. Yeah. That's why we must put our faith in God, because God's plan is going to be done. It's whether or not we're going to get in God's plan. Amen, somebody. You don't have to understand everything. You know our kids are. Daddy, mama, why we have to do it? Why we have to go? Daddy, why we? Look, just do what I say to. You know, kids ask all those questions. If you had to explain to your children every reason why you can't go here, why you not doing this, why we not buying this, we wouldn't get nothing done. Sometimes there has to be just some submissiveness to those who are in authority. I ain't doing with nobody. I'm not talking about nobody else right now. We're talking about God right now. Amen, somebody. From Psalms 90, verse 2, Psalms 92, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth, the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God was here. You know, sometimes we see a little child that's grown up to be, boy, I remember you when you wasn't even here. Yeah, I remember you. God was here before we were even thought about. God knows everything that ever happened in the world, and we don't know nothing. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art. There is no comparison to God. God, we must have unfaltering faith. I got to go move on to my lesson. But the lesson today is unwavering belief in Jesus. Everybody's all right this morning? You up now? You had your coffee? Had your coffee this morning? Come on now. Get with me now. Stay with me now. Those of you on Facebook, don't talk too much. And you got all your hellos out the way. Let's get into the word. All right, here we go. Unwavering belief in Jesus as Savior. Ah, you've heard this before. You need to hear it again. Our kids need to hear this anchor. Because see, some folks pulling on this anchor. Some folks are trying to take this anchor up. And you won't understand life if you don't understand this one. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians 1, 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness. This is Apostle Paul. Now, he's writing to the church, and these people have become Christians. And he writes them this letter. He says, rescued us from the domain of darkness. Now, a reality is in this world, there is good and there's evil. You can't get by. Now, you have to ask God why that is. But in this world, you know that's good. He says he rescued us from the domain of darkness. You remember in the book of Genesis, I believe in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, when the devil was trying to have this conversation with Eve, he said, no, it's not so. You can eat of this fruit, because God recognizes that your eyes are going to be opened. And you're going to be like God. That's what he told. Your eyes are going to be opened. Lord have mercy. And were their eyes open? Yeah. And then you get to verse 7, and God speaks. He says, yes, what have you done? What have you done? Because now their eyes were open and they recognized that they were naked. Oh, Lord, they've gone from good. They've gone from light to darkness. They've gone to the other side. And see, it's like, you know, when we have our children, and our children, they're real small, and they just as innocent as they can be, and you know, everything is goo-goo, ga-ga, and they love you, and then all of a sudden they're exposed to something and they get in some trouble, and they're exposed to something, it could happen a little later, they're exposed to something they should not have seen, but they saw it. And they're exposed to that evil element. They're exposed to darkness. And we all know what darkness does to us. And darkness is in the world. We can't deny it. And the scripture says he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. Now, this is God orchestrating this. He sends his son to the world to rescue us from the domain of darkness, of evil, of sin. And he tries to transform us into the kingdom of his beloved son. We're talking about Jesus now. That was Jesus' message. He says, repent, for the kingdom is near. That was Jesus' message. In verse 14, in whom we have redemption. Praise the Lord, we have redemption. And redemption means in the Old Testament, it's a payment. It's a payment to buy back. And it was a physical payment that was in the New Testament. It's a spiritual payment. We have redemption. He bought us back. He reconciled us back to God. He says the forgiveness of sins. Yeah. Yeah. And if we die in our sins, we can't be with God. And the only way we're going to we receive forgiveness of sins is through Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say he is the image of the invisible God. Talking about Jesus. Now, notice the distinct role. God is the orchestrator. God is the conductor. God is in heaven. God is everywhere. But he's on the throne. He sends his son to the world to carry out his will. And when we see Jesus, we see God. He calls him the invisible God. We're trying to lift Jesus up. Some of you got this, but some of you don't. Some of us think we got it, but we need to nail this down. Because there are individuals who are pulling on this anchor. Then he calls him the firstborn of all creation. Ah, that's so significant. Yeah, some have misinterpreted this as the firstborn. And they've implied, or they state that this means, see, this means that Jesus had an origin. Yeah. And they say he's the firstborn, as I believe the Jehovah's Witnesses hold up that Jesus had a beginning. But this is not talking about Jesus has a beginning, but it's talking about Jesus is first in rank. Yeah, not in beginning. Come on, you got to get this right, because this is what distinguishes Jesus from all others and all else. Yeah, we know in the book of Revelations, when John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he was writing down what God was telling him, and he writes this note. He says, I am the Alpha, I'm the beginning and the Omega. It doesn't mean that I had a beginning, but he says, I'm the first and the last. He says, I'm the beginning and the end. See, Jesus is the first cause. He's not first in origin. He is the first cause of all. Surely he says, I'm the Omega. Surely Jesus has no end. If he has no end, he has no beginning. Yeah, yeah. And so we want to get this right. We want to put Jesus right where he's supposed to be. Amen, somebody. Colossians 1:18. Now, notice this. We're in Colossians. We start in Colossians 1. Listen to verse 18. He is also the head of the body. Talking about Jesus. The church. He is the beginning. It says he is the beginning. Now, he is the beginning. He had a beginning. Jesus is the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead. Now, you even know, some of you that read your Bible, you know this, that Jesus was not the first to be resurrected. Lazarus was resurrected. Darius' daughter was resurrected. They were resurrected. Listen, before Jesus was resurrected, They were resurrected before him, but understand this. But he goes on to say, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead to never die anymore. Amen, somebody. Yeah, Lazarus, he was resurrected, but Lazarus died eventually. There, his daughter was resurrected, but she died. So you see what I'm talking about? Jesus, Jesus is like no other. Jesus is to have first place in everything. Amen. Now, let me say this to the young people out here who have been exposed to all of this. I'm not going to downplay it. I don't want to insult anybody, but I've heard this. Some of our members call me. Some of our young ones email me. Bro Gary, you have folks that say we've been duped. We've been brainwashed. And there were many other Jesus characters that lived in the world. And there is a book that was written by a gentleman. His name was Kersey Graves. Book entitled The World's 16 Crucified Saviors. And I acknowledge it just for those maybe perhaps that are watching or you've been exposed to some who bring you, I call it foolishness, who bring you this foolishness without any significant proof, without any significant evidence, because a gentleman who has no credentials really to name, he writes the book in 1875, The World's 16 Crucified Saviors, and he goes through the oriental origins of all of these deities who could proclaim that they were Jesus-like characters. Some of them say so-called resurrected, and some of them had elements of Jesus's crucifixion, and they went on to a better place. And they quote some of this, and they name some. I'll name you some of the God, some of these deities, so you know that this is what he wrote. He wrote about one was Thulis of Egypt, Krishna of India, Crite of Chaldea, Ates of Perga, Tammuz and Jesus and Bali and Indra and Io and Buddha and Mitra and Alcestis and some of them I can't even pronounce their names. And I'm not being humorous at all. But I want you to know that you've been exposed to somebody, something that somebody gave you, and you're taking it hook, line, and sinker. And other books have been written even in its passing. In 1994, they revised it and republished it in 2001. And individuals see that, Gary, Jesus wasn't the first Christ. And you say, this happened well before Jesus ever came to this earth. And son, my daughter, you don't recognize it. Brother, my brother, my sister, Jesus was here before the world was. As there is no way they could be before Christ. We just didn't hear about Christ until the New Testament. Well, we heard about him in the Old Testament because there are over 300 prophecies that are written concerning Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. These deities, these folklores, these stories have no justification. They are simply tall tales that individuals make. Just like even in the New Testament where Paul, he went to Athens and he saw all of these gods. And he was just mesmerized. Folks make up all kinds of stuff, been making up stuff. But we have so much evidence for Christ. We have the prophecies. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, by which you are saved, wherein ye stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I've delivered unto you. He says, I've delivered to you, first of all, therefore, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose on the third day. And listen to this in verse number 5, and that he was seen of Cephas. All of these deities you're talking about. Matter of fact, you go get the book. It's called The World's 16 Crucified Saviors. And it gives you all of this information, but it gives you no backbone, no way. The Bible, he says, and that he was seen of Cephas. It gives these deities give no eyewitnesses. Cephas would be Paul. He says, and then of the 12, in the verse 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part, Paul says, at this particular writing, remain until this present. He says, but some are fallen asleep. Then in verse 7, he says, and that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also. Paul said, I saw him myself. We're talking about Jesus now. Yeah, we're talking about solid evidence now of who Jesus was and who Jesus is. You stop believing all of this foolishness. Because there's too much evidence about Jesus Christ and his presence on earth and the reason why he came. And I just mentioned that not to confuse some. Some of us, we didn't know about all of this stuff, but some folks act like they got some knowledge that nobody else had. Yeah, and you read about the source of some of this knowledge that we have. Go back to Colossians, if you will. You still with me this morning? I don't mean to get too excited, but I want to get excited about this guy. I get excited talking about Jesus Christ. I've heard about Jesus. You're going to hear some more about it. Listen, verse 16, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for by him all things were created. That's why you got to get Jesus in the right place. Yes, you know, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Did you not know that God is Jesus? Amen. Oh, have mercy. Wait a minute. Now, God the orchestrator, God the conductor, God makes the plan. Jesus carries his plan out. It says, for by him, now wait a minute, Brooke, that's talking about God. Yes, it is talking about God, but it's talking about Jesus. Now, go back to, we're in Colossians chapter 1, go back to verse 15, go back to verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. So that's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. He's the image of the invisible God. Speaking of Jesus, the firstborn from creation. Then when we get to verse 16, it says, for by him, by who, Brother Gary? By Jesus. All things were created. Jesus was carrying out God's will. Both in the heavens, the moon, the stars, the sun. Who created them? God did. Who created them? Jesus did. Yes. Tell that to your children. Your children ask you, how did we get here? Jesus. Yeah, tell them. Who created the moon? God, Jesus. He says this. He says, both in heavens and on earth. Where did the Grand Canyon come from? Jesus. He says, visible and invisible. Where did oxygen come from? Can I hear you on Facebook? Where did oxygen come back? Type it on there. Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. He says, visible and invisible. He said, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, then he gives this word in the Bible that you can't miss. An atheist can't misinterpret this. He says, all things. Yes, all things. I go on the internet. I like seeing beautiful scenes and you know, there's you go to a website, it's the wonders of the world. And go there and you see all of these beautiful wonders of the world. And you say, oh, we sing a song, how great thou art. Yes, God is so creative, so creative. All things have been created through him. Through who, Brother? Jesus. And for him. The orchestrator of the word, that's God. We have to have unfaltering faith in God and his word. The orchestrator of the world, even God, that's why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's like God, he says, son, I want you, everything I think of, I want you to make it. Because it's like God says, because it's for you. You know, we like to buy things for our kids. We like to do things for our kids. I mean, you love to make them happy. You want to go out and make them happy. So you go out and do it. Baby, this is just for you. And you just watch them smile. Now, here's another nail for the car. Here's another weight on the anchor. Verse 17, it says, he is before all things. There are other Christs. The Orientals talked about Christ. All of these gods. They talked about. There are other deities who so-called raised from. Who mother was. They had a virgin death. What are you talking about? Nobody is before him. Because he uses that word again. It says. And he is before all things. And see, that's why he is the firstborn of all creation. He is the first cause. Because, see, we see things as a beginning. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Now, because we are locked up in this time capsule. But God is not restricted by, from everlasting to everlasting, you're God. In him, all things, he says, and he is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. Could it be that we're all still here today because Jesus desires us to still be here today? Yeah. Now, the scripture does tell us nobody knows when Jesus is coming. Only the Father. So Jesus don't know when God is going to say time shall be no more. But Jesus, he has the power. It's like Jesus can say to God, God, just give him some more time. Yeah, he needs some more time. Yeah, she gonna come around. He's gonna come around. And I don't do anybody in here needs more time? Anybody watching need more time? I mean, when I say need more time, aren't you glad God is? Aren't you glad Jesus is loving and kind? You don't have to say it. I say it for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't take me last year. Woo, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't take me last week. Can I get a little bit closer? Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't take me yesterday. Well, hello, somebody. Am I down your street yet? Yeah, you better be thanking Jesus. And some have the audacity to question the deity of Jesus. I'm preaching like it's 1,000 people in here because I believe it is. Somebody need to hear this morning. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. And then there are so many passages. So what are you reaching for, Brother Gary? I'm reaching for that young man, that young woman, that young soul, that older person who's having doubts, who are hanging on this fallacious doctrine, who won't give Jesus the credit that he deserves. My Muslim brothers and sisters, yes, Allah, yes, Yahweh, yes, God is our Savior, but he's given all authority to Jesus. And you must give authority to Jesus. Jesus is not just a man. He's not just another prophet. He is the Son of God, the creator of this universe. And listen to these passages, because I know you believe in the Bible. I know you believe in Scripture. I'm just going to read some of them for you. John 3:35, the Father loves the Son and has given, I love this little small word because you can't misinterpret it. He said, and has given all things into his hand. Next week, the anchor is the hope of salvation. He's given everything. He's given all authority to Jesus. John 5:23, so that all, there it is again, will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. How can you miss that? Tell me somebody, please. You got to throw the Bible out. You have to say, well, now the Bible is not the standard. That's the only way you can miss that. John 6:40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. If you don't put Jesus in the right place, you won't have eternal. Now, notice it. You're going to have something eternal, but it won't be eternal life. See, there's eternal life, and there's the eternal punishment. I won't read that scripture. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, it gets a little sterner for those who would be hard-headed. Who is the liar? Well, Gary, you calling me? I'm reading the Bible. I'm just reading the Bible. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is an anchor for the soul. Yeah. Yeah, without this anchor, your ship gonna crash. Without this anchor, you a drifter in the sea of life. This is the Antichrist. Okay, the Antichrist hadn't come yet. You know what? The scripture don't teach there's one Antichrist. Some of us, we waiting for, you know, some of us even think the president might be the Antichrist. It ain't the president. It's anybody who would deny the deity of Christ. And the scripture said, this is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. Oh, my goodness. I got to bring this to a close. And here now, notice this now. Don't be disillusioned because someone will take Bulgaria. That's Paul. That's Apostle Paul right now. God didn't say that. Jesus didn't say that. That you reading Paul in Colossians. You reading the letter of Paul. Listen now. Come on now. See, Jesus. You go to Luke chapter 10 verse 16. Luke chapter 10 verse 16. This is what Jesus said. Now it's in your Bibles and some, and I don't know if the thought was good, but I think it's confused in some folk. In your Bibles, some writers have made the words of Jesus in the color red. They made color red when the quotes of Jesus are red, and that may be good, but understand Jesus gave authority to his apostles. Amen, somebody. A man made the color red, but Jesus said this in Luke chapter 10, verse 16. The one who listens to you, and he's talking to his apostles. He says, the one who listens to you listens to me. And he gives authority to the apostles as if he's speaking himself. He says, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. He said, because Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father. When he left this earth, the last thing he said, he says, all authority has been given unto me. He says, go and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, teaching them to observe everything I'm commanding you. He gave this to the apostles. He says, apostles, teach the world. And so he tells them to teach the world, but it's really Jesus talking. It's really God talking to all of us. So you need to come off that these are Paul's words. These are Jesus' words. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, 37, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandments. You got it? You sure? And then there are others. I know I get emotional and I know there are others who would challenge other things. And I'm talking about evidence. We're talking about Jesus and we know this is the Bible, but there are others. There are other sources. There are Jewish sources. Josephus, the historian, many respect him more than they respect the Bible. He mentions Jesus Christ twice. In his book on the antiquities, that you study that on your own. There's the Babylonian Talmud. We're talking about Jewish sources. The Talmud, it mentions Jesus and his trial by Sanhedrin. Then you have the Jewish scholar who was a scholar of Hebrew University, Joseph Klasmer. In his book, Jesus of Nazareth, he has a whole section on Jesus. Now, we're talking about those who are not Christians, but they're Jewish scholars. They write these history books. You find this in some of the Christ, so-called Christ of cursed graves. You won't find this kind of evidence. These are Jewish sources. Then you have Roman sources. They're surely not believers. You have Pliny, who was the governor of Bithynia. You have Tacitus, who in his annals he comments about Christ. You have Suetonius, who was another emperor who talks about Christ. All of these outside sources, not even biblical sources. Find this kind of evidence from these so-called deities that you talk about, cursed graves. No evidence. And I want to end in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Verse 9, for this reason, now notice this, God the orchestrator, he says, for this reason, that's why these anchors are so important in life, because they make sense out of life. They keep us grounded. They keep us from drifting. They keep us from listening to foolishness. We might listen to it, but we'll confirm what God says. For this reason, what's the reason, Brother Gary? Because Jesus obeyed every command God gave him. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God said, Jesus, go. I want you to redeem the world. Jesus obeyed God's commandment. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Make no bones about it. We know there are philosophies. There's Buddha, Buddhism. That's Hinduism. That you have the Muslims. You have all kinds of faiths and all. He says he gave Jesus the name which is above. He gives every name. Name the person. Name the name of whoever you. They do not compare to Jesus. Then he says, so that at the name of Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus! Every knee will bow. See, we can do it. We can do it voluntarily or involuntarily. And that's just it. You know, that's how God made us. He gives us a choice. He's not going to make us. You can do it now or you can do it later. But the scripture says, this is a prophecy. He says, every knee, I don't know. See, the Bible says when Jesus comes, we all gonna be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then this mortal shall put on immortality. We don't know what our bodies are gonna be, but they're gonna be changed. But according to the scripture says, every knee gonna bow. I don't know if we're gonna bow at the judgment day when we're standing before God, but every knee is gonna bow. And so it just means whether it's spiritually, whether it's physically, all of us going to have a knee. And every knee will bow. And what are you talking about, Greg? Listen to the rest of the passage. Of those who are in heaven. Oh, I love this. I'm creative, too. I don't know. I don't want to think too much into it. It says, of those who are in heaven, and you study the Bible, you see that there were even angels who defied God, who were in heaven and defied God, and God punished them. Now, if God punished the angels, what you think he's going to do to us? Those of who are in heaven and on earth. And then he goes on to say, and under the earth. And maybe it's the dead. But every knee is going to bow at the name of Jesus. We sing a song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. You know that song? Master, Savior, Jesus. Yes, I love the name of Jesus. Do you love the name of Jesus? He is our Savior. If you're here tonight, here this morning, and you're not subservient to Jesus, to his commandments. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're hearing it today and now you believe in Jesus, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that is the reward of those who diligently seek him. If you're here today and you want to be saved, you must repent of all of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5, tell your neighbor, except unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. If you're here today and you haven't confessed the sweetest name that you should confess, he says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. You can't be ashamed that you got to believe it. You can't wiggle around it. You have to admit that Jesus is the Savior. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Salvation is through him and him alone. If you're here today and you want to be baptized in the name of Jesus, Acts 2:38, Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And you too can be added to the body of Christ, to the church of Christ, which Jesus died for, that every person can be saved. We want you to come. If you're here, you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. If you're here, you want us to pray. If you want to ask the Lord to forgive you of any sins, we'll pray for you. Won't you come right now as we sing the song of the Lord? invitation.
Somebody's knocking at your door.